I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We got to talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons.
You mean Wes Drewham.
And Wes, as always, good to chat with you.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Man, we're good. We're up here at Flowery today talking to Coach.
Good.
Had a great conversation with him and, you know, considering how we feel and how I think most Falcon fans feel, but he gets it and he knows. And then Caden Ellis just came in here, and I thought he was just brutally honest. Like, look, man, you know, we know what we're capable of. We're not happy about the last 2 weeks. Where are you at, Wes, specifically with our inability to be effective in the red zone? I'd love to put my finger on it. I know they're trying to up here, but it's like, okay, why are we so inconsistent when we get down there and not able to score touchdowns? Because I think that's what's holding us back.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, I think, for sure. 29th doesn't get you anywhere, that's for sure. you know, you got to be better than that. And remember, I was thinking about this earlier today. I think we talked about this at camp and maybe in one of our first visits prior to Tampa. There were going to be two or three stats that were going to determine what kind of year Atlanta had, right? One was going to be red zone offense, right? The other one was going to be turnover margin. And then the third one was going to be the ability to stop the run with the defensive front. And when you think about it, when two of those three things, in any combination of the three, go bad, Atlanta's not won this year, flat out. Just, it's as simple as that. And I'm not saying that's the elixir to the whole thing, but I do believe that one of the things that has to happen with this group is they've got to get touchdowns early. I agree with that in terms of the red zone. I think that's the fastest way to fix it is touchdowns. And so you better start Sunday because – the other crowd has gotten better on defense in each week of the regular season so far under Mike Vrabel. And, I mean, like better each week. Like week one, they were 26th, and now they're in the top 10. So I think the test on Sunday in Foxborough is going to be as good a test as you've probably seen all year long. So it would probably be beneficial to get off to a pretty quick start and a touchdown-oriented start at that.
Wes, I know we got to run the football. We got to be able to score because, you know, you said it. I mean, they're going to start running. Teams will do what the Dolphins did. They'll just run it at us, and then we don't get back on the field. Part of all the things, we talked about it with Dave Archer yesterday, all the things fans want to see, more Kyle Pitts, who got a lot of targets. I'll take even more. More creativity. All that goes out the window when you don't get the volume of plays. And it's a catch-22 because it's too many three and outs.
Well, and that's where the you know, we kept talking last Sunday about time of possession, right? Time of possession was dictating the game. Why is that? Because Atlanta wasn't touching the football. I mean, for a good bit of the first quarter, they only ran three plays. I mean, they went three and out in their first possession. Remember, they kicked the ball to Miami to start the game, right? And then Miami went three and out. Atlanta went three and out. Then Miami's second possession is when they had double-figure play drive. Atlanta got it back. First quarter was gone after the second snap. I think they ran five or six plays in the first quarter. So your point's well made, Mike, and I think it's a fact. I think that's one of the simplistic approaches to this. Second part of it is this. Whatever was working defensively in rhythm, and I told you guys this, and I tweeted it, Carl, the other night. After I was with you guys last Wednesday, and I sent the Florida Evans damn gift last week.
Damn.
Because Divine Diablo on injured reserve is not what we needed. And I'm not saying he's a one of one, but it was readily evident that he was a big piece of what that was. So they've got to get that part fixed, and I think they've acknowledged that, and, you know, we'll see what the combination comes with. It felt like Ronnie Harrison was on the field a lot last week. We'll see if that continues to hold true. And, you know, like I said, I think they've got their work cut out for them on Sunday because the cube on the other side has proven to be worth the stock invested in him last year now.
Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons guys. He also calls college football. And as we get ready for the Patriots, you know what I remember, Wes, and I know you do after all these years. Last time we were up there, remember it was foggy? You remember that? It was fog. It was Matt Ryan.
Yeah. It was also Sunday night the year after the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Yes, yep. I remember.
Yeah, and we went up there, and it was like, oh, man, we're going to play Belichick and Brady. And it was.
Yeah.
Remember the Julio touchdown where he snaps, he pulls the ball away from being an interception at the goal line?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
I'm thinking about those vivid memories. Now, we lost the game, if I remember correctly. But it was it was a foggy night, and I'm like – boy, we got to go up here. The weather's going to be nice this weekend. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, super cold or any craziness. Yeah.
You think that? Okay.
Well, I hope. And I'm just saying to myself, Michael Penix, I need him back on the field this weekend. And this is no disrespect to Kirk Cousins. Kirk just didn't I felt like he didn't help us last weekend. And that's not a shot at specifically at him. The team didn't play well. But I needed him to elevate us. And I just didn't feel like that happened. And I'm like, I need Penix back on the field. I need him to get back out there and give us something.
Well, he gives you a vibe when he plays.
Yes.
He's one of those guys that gives you a vibe. And, you know, I'm not going to draw the analogy to any one specific player, but the other guy who I always saw young in his career who gave you the vibe when he went on the field was Randall Cunningham, right? And I think Michael's got the kind of Randall Cunningham vibe. You know, he can make plays with his feet. He's certainly got the live arm, things like that. Yeah, and he needs to get out there healthy. That's the other thing, guys. And I think I said last week to you, Mike, I'm down here in Leon County, Florida, by the way, handling some of your legal affairs today.
By the way, that statute of limitation wore it long time ago.
Not the guy I ran into here in the airport. I think he's got the vibe, Carl, and that's what you're looking for. And I think the team was playing for him, not that they didn't play for Kirk. Bad start killed everything the other day. But I agree with you, but I want Michael, to my point, I want Michael healthy when he is on the field, for sure.
Right. It's a Wes Durham with us, guys. We'll talk about some college football in just a sec. Injury report, we'll give you the full injury report at 5 o'clock. Leonard Floyd dealing with a hamstring. He had a hard time setting the edge, as did almost anybody that was playing the edge position against the Dolphins. And you already talked about, you know, no disrespect to J.D. Bertrand, but there's just limitations, and the yards after the catch was way too much. The other thing about this, you know, is just trying to get some mojo. You know, Bijan is almost, and I know that a lot, this gets back to the quantity of plays, but if we're not running the football, if we're not a run football, you know, and physicality, I think we lose, and I think we'll lose these next two games because the teams we're playing, Wes, especially the Colts, they are a run-first team.
Yeah, no, and look, in many ways, New England is when you look at kind of some of the guys they've got on this list now. Ramondre Stevenson's the one that jumps off the page, but their run game is 21st. Their run game is 18th in the league, and you've got to get them on the ground. I mean, because here's the thing: you're going to have plenty of work to stop the former Falcon Austin Hooper and all these wide receivers that Drake's throwing to. And I mean, and the thing is, Drake's not missing much, guys. 2 weeks ago, it was 91%. I mean, think about that. That's 91%. He was doing that against 11 guys on defense.
Real quick, I got to give you some props. A few years ago.
Two years ago.
Was at North Carolina, you said to us, this kid's going to be really good. And you called this, and after seeing him up close and personal, calling a few games, and we debated that quarterback class. All of a sudden now.
And I said he's a bum, Carl.
He has been boosted to the top of that class with the way he's handling this year. Right. I give you credit because we all doubted. I think Drake May really and Mac. Look,
was that a fit of the Trubisky kind of? It had nothing to do with him, but the Carolina. Sure. They're not producing the elite quarterback.
Yeah, and Mac Brown did a great job with him when he was there. But go ahead, I wanted to give you those props. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate it, but the thing about him is that he's number one. He's a very good athlete. Number two, he's really smart. And three, he learned a lot playing those two full seasons at Carolina at quarterback. And he redshirted the first year. And so, look, sometimes you can go pro with only playing 2 years if you got the guns. And I got to be honest with you, Carl and Mike, I was doing games with Tim Hasselbeck that year on ACC Network.
Yes.
Tim Hasselbeck's the one that walked me through the quarterback class that whole year. And it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago when Drake hit 91% of his passes, Tim and I exchanged texts about – funny how this kind of works out if you give it time to settle in, right? And look, he's a perfect fit for what they want to do, much like I think where Michael probably fits in Atlanta's future too. So you know, in the case of New England, look what they did. They went 4 or 5 games last year, and then Drake took over, right? Atlanta went a little further before Penix took over, but it's two quarterbacks who are on growth points here. One has just gotten more reps than the other, and Drake's been able to stay relatively healthy. The other thing affecting, let's be honest, the other thing affecting Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels now is their inability to stay healthy.
Right.
That's the bottom line. I don't think the coaching change certainly has something to do with Caleb Williams, with Ben Johnson coming in and whether or not he can or can't process what they're doing offensively. That's a question for Arch, in my opinion. But the other thing with Jaden Daniels is it's strictly health with him. And if he can't get on the field, Washington's not going to be as good. I mean, just flat out not going to be as good as they can be with Daniels, no doubt.
All right, Wes, before we cut you loose real quick on the college tip, you got the cocktail party this week. Still not sure what Florida's going to look like with an interim coach. Still got a lot of great athletes on the defensive side. But
I'm thinking Kerwin Bell quarterbacks them.
and Charlie Pell is going to come down. Charlie Pell and Galen Hall are going to help out with the play calling.
Yeah, Charlie Pell will be involved too. I think Kerwin Bell is the head coach at Western Carolina, in case you boys need to know where he is for a little Gator flashback at some point. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No. And then also keeping it local, Haynes King. Georgia Tech does what they're supposed to do. Anytime Syracuse got back in that game, Tech just extended it, and Haynes King just looks like a rock star. And again, if this was 1975, he'd be a shoo-in for the Heisman, but you got to have about 25 touchdowns in the air to get the Heisman.
Now, here's the thing. You got to play on a team. The Heisman has become as much team-centric as stat-specific. I would say this. If Haynes King can get through the regular season at 11-1 or 12-0, he should be in New York, bottom line. Because when you aggregate his numbers of total offense or yards per game with some of these other guys we're talking about being in contention for the Heisman Trophy, he's there. In fact, going into last week's game, I think he was averaging more yards per game. Maybe not total offense, but APY, his APY number was higher. Maybe his total offense number was higher too. But look, this guy and his team's winning, okay? And I said this morning with some guys on Sirius. The element of him that is the most impressive, and Mike, you and I were in town when Joe Hamilton was cooking, right?
Right.
We were in town when George Godsey was cooking. Josh Nesbitt was rolling in 08, right, with the option that Paul put in. But here's the thing about Haynes King. He is about the team. He is not about an individual honor. He is as team-centric a guy as I've ever seen, and he is the heartbeat of that crowd. And last year when he was out, it was kind of wobbly at times, but this guy has willed this team, and they're an older team by nature in college football. Transfers have been good. We all know what a good job Brent's done. But Haynes King, if he doesn't go to New York, there's a problem. That's
I
the
agree.
Bottom line.
I've been saying it for weeks now, and it's a shame that he hasn't gotten that kind of recognition. The team is undefeated. They're playing great.
We're talking about Pavia, and we're not talking about him.
Correct. That's right. A great point.
Right.
Talking about Pavia if we're not talking about him, Carl? And are we through talking about Arch, Carl, after last week? Are we done with Arch? Is he okay? We're going to be okay then?
Yeah, look, he's concussed. Leave the kid alone, all right, will you? I mean, he brought us back from like 17 down.
I know you were hyping the horns, though. I heard you. You were hyping the horns.
I'm not upset. The kid played last week like everybody's been expecting him to. Let him go, Sark. All right, we got to run. we will talk to you. Have a great call, man, up there in New England, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Wes Durham, guys. Look. Call it what you want, Mike. We're biased when it comes to this Haynes King kid.
No, I mean, like you put him in.
We are.
Georgia Tech.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because Georgia Tech has not been a brand. I mean, Brent's changing that, and he's got them, you know, obviously in the right direction, and Brent's going to get a raise here, I believe. But, yeah, it's just, unfortunately for him, they played at higher profile games as Vanderbilt with the schedule in the SEC.
And they've won a bunch
more
of
national
those.
TV, a little bit.
What do we have?
Hey, man, the LSU situation right now. Who's going to be picking the head coach? The governor has things in perspective down there. We'll explain what he had to say. Also, oh, boy, this is either how the zombie apocalypse starts or Planet of the Apes. Research monkeys on the loose in Mississippi. Stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.